been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening, streaming, or downloading on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, hey, can you do something for me?
What's that?
Let's do some counting. How about one? Not one, but two. But he didn't stop there, dude. He went three.
Three, all right.
Three was good, wasn't it? Three was good.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you with me?
All right.
Four.
Four.
But then he just threw a beautiful pass to Steve Smith for five. Count on one, two, three, four, five touchdowns for Joe Flacco. How about that, man? What a game.
What a fun game to watch up against Tampa Bay. This was... I don't even know how to describe this game. This felt like the Ravens up against like a high school football team. This was crazy. I feel a little bit bad for you, though, because I kind of feel as if you should have just delayed your birthday by like 1 week. You could have enjoyed that in Tampa Bay.
Right, man. We were joking about that, saying it sucks that they played so badly and lost by seven. They can look so good and win by, you know, 20, 30 points. And that's night and day in the NFL. That's the NFL, man. That's the Ravens. They're up and down all the time. But you're right. But still, it capped a great week. And it kind of, on the flip side, it kind of made up for the Orioles a little bit, because I did go to game two. And obviously, we know our birds right now, as it stands, before any pending games on the show, we're down two games and nothing. So it kind of, you know, with the tension and with the Orioles and all that, you know, getting a nice breather on Sunday, relaxing, where it's 38-0 at halftime, we're all joking and carrying on. It's kind of like we're not used to that as Ravens fans, Brandon. And it's really good to see. It's really good to have that. We haven't had a blowout win like that in a while. I mean, I saw the blowout against Carolina. It was the same way. It was just we were just running around of them all day, and it was a fun day indeed. And it was fun to win like that in the NFL. I would get used to that, some of those wins. And like Joe Flacco said, that was a fun day. And that was, it was. It was a fun day, a fun game, 4-2. And the division got a little bit tighter. Not only did we win big, but Steelers lost big, 31-10 to the Browns. So that made the division a little bit more interesting. And we'll get to that a little bit later on the AFC North breakdown, the matchups. And how about Cincinnati, man? Missing a 32-yard field goal. I remember that shade to Billy Cundiff of a 32-yarder wide left. This one was wide right. So, in recap, just break down for me, really, the NFL. This is how real fun the NFL is. Tampa Bay Buccaneers go into Pittsburgh and last-second win, okay, 27-24. We beat the doors off the Buccaneers. You follow me, Brandon?
Mm-hmm.
So far we got there. Bucs beat the Steelers. We blew the doors off the Bucs. Then you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who we were clawing tooth and nail. They beat us by a little bit of margin. Then they get tied by the Panthers in a shootout, and they could have won it on a cheap 32-yard field goal, which they missed, and yet we blew off the doors on the Panthers, and so did the Steelers. So you follow me here? So it's kind of funny how, even though the division, we always play the same opponents with the same divisions, and it's really interesting to see how the Steelers – beat the Panthers, we beat the Panthers, and then the Bengals, they don't match up well, and they tie. You know, the Buccaneers played the Steelers, beat them, we played the Buccaneers, and it was a no contest. So the division, I'm telling you right now, man, 4-2, we're sitting great, and I couldn't be more proud of our guys, man. The running game was on. They didn't abandon the run. Forsett running another large run. How about Michael Campanera, man, grabbing his first touchdown, man. Agan got a touchdown. I mean, Flacco was throwing so many. I mean, J.J. Watt might have caught somewhere. I don't know where he's at down in Houston. Houston, he's got three to his name. So, with that being said, again, it was a great win. Joe Flacco tied a franchise record with five. And he also actually outdid his own franchise record, man, and personal best. That he set a franchise record with quarterback rating against Panthers, and he just outdid himself again with a 147 rating this past week. And boy, was he great, man!
Yeah, 5 touchdowns, 306 passing yards. I mean, Joe Flacco knew what he was doing. It seems as if Gary Kubiak's finally letting Flacco just be Flacco. We talked about that, I think, last week or the week before. And he's really letting Joe take over this offense. Here's the thing that I wanted the Ravens to take away from this game. Look at what your quarterback can do when he's given time. Yes, the Tampa Bay is not the greatest team. We all admit that they have like the worst score right now in the NFL. You know, they're dead last. But putting that aside, look at what you got to do. All right, you need guys on the offensive line giving Joe Flacco time because he can hit those targets. He can make those crazy plays. I mean, look at what happened with him and Torrey Smith on this game. Torrey Smith was having a terrible year, his worst year so far in the NFL, and he comes out here. Here he comes, you know, up against Tampa Bay, and it's the Torrey Smith of old. I mean, him and Joe were in sync. Everything was going well. You give Joe Flacco time, and the receivers do their job and get open, and you can have a game like this almost every week depending on the opponent. But look at what Joe can do when he's in control, when he has the right guys, when everything is working like it should be. Joe can make those big plays.
You're right. Given time and given – we talked about this on Sunday with several of the fans I was watching the game with, and any quarterback given time – and they can pick up defensive part. And I've said this last week, especially when we dissected the road loss to the Colts, the Joe Flacco and the Ravens offense, he's always been that rhythm guy. You get him a nice rhythm, you get him that rapport, and he flows through the game. And the dude's almost unstoppable. As you've seen, he's just having fun out there, winging touchdowns left and right. His receivers are open. The offensive line, I applauded because now again, this is where – you have to really put the game under the microscope and dissect the game, because either our offensive line played so bad in Indy, or is Indy's defense that much better than Tampa Bay's defense, because we couldn't stop the blitzing and stop the sacks. We let up a lot of a handful of sacks on Joe Flacco last week against the Colts. And then here, he was first landing a touch. I don't even think he was touching. It was just, you know, keep him upright and flinging the ball. That's what happens. It's always won and lost in the trenches. You know, you pass rush the quarterback, which the defense was relentless all day. It was great to see. Suggs finally got a sack. Doomerville was back there. Mosley wreaking havoc. How about Jimmy Smith catching picks?
Yeah.
Man, you can really – I mean, there was a hero everywhere. And Jacoby Jones had a nice return even. It was great to see him shake off some of the rust. It was a great day to really look at that, but you know, we've always talked about those battles, and seeing the young season already 6 games in, you see that. You know, when the line plays well, we're going to play well and run blocking and pass rushing, and then when both sides are off, Joe Flacco is running for his life. And I was watching that the same thing on Sunday Night Football this past week, Giants Eagles. The Eagles blanked the Giants 27-0. It was the same way. They were down on blitzes, and when Eli Manning couldn't do anything, it was as soon as he was back there, he was getting harassed, and he had to throw the ball away. He had to throw it too early. It was like that last week with the Colts. You know, Joe Flacco, by the time he got back there, it was like, I can't look downfield because I'm getting harassed. So, again, you got to take care of number 5 back there, and he'll take care of us and his receivers. And he did so, man. And a lights-out performance. And like Steve Smith said, man, the dude's nasty.
Yeah.
Joe, cool, nasty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I love about Joe. Here's something that a lot of fans were bringing up on social media while the game was going on. And they were talking about the fact that they didn't like that John Harbaugh was keeping a lot of the starters in the game throughout, you know, keeping everybody was like, oh, halftime is over and Joe Flacco's right. Not going to play anymore. I agree with John Harbaugh's move here. You saw what the Buccaneers did during that second half. Yeah, I mean, the lead never went away, but they were making some ground. So I completely agree with Joe Flacco staying in this game, and I also agree with a lot of the starters staying in the game as well, because look, we already have a lot of starters on the sidelines right now, so it's not like, you know, it's all these pros that we're just going to rest because we don't want to risk injury. But like, keeping Joe in the game, keeping a lot of the other starters in the game makes total sense to me, because you're still playing an NFL game. Even if you are winning by a landslide, anything can happen, and the Buccaneers could have come back and maybe shrink that deficit up even more than what they already did. But keeping Joe Flacco in for as long as Harbaugh has done, I think that's great, because if anything, you're even getting more practice with a new offensive coordinator. You're getting Joe back on the field, and you're getting him to get rhythm with a lot of these rookies who don't have a lot of playing experience.
I'm glad you brought that up, Brandon, because it's going to create some great conversation. I had that in my notes today. I wanted to talk about that. So you're right on point, man. yeah, this is how we go, man. Wanted to cover that because I did get into war words on social media over that game, and I kind of had to stop. And I'm in total agreement with you, man. I can give you a high five from where I'm at. I actually have the quote from Harbaugh right now. When he was asked about pulling Flacco at halftime or third quarter, he said, quote, absolutely not. Did not consider doing that. That would be, in my opinion, foolish, end quote. That's John Harbaugh. And there was a lot of people saying that, too. Well, if I was coaching the Ravens, and again, before I even go here, this is why we do what we do, and we're not coaching the NFL, right?
Right.
Exactly. We all think as fans we know better. Sometimes we do. When it's 4th and 1, we should run the ball instead of passing. But, hey, who are we to discuss that? But I had it into war words, and I agree with you. It put some people in their place because you're right. That team can come back. Someone said that, and I was like, you got to play relentless football. How many times did Ray Lewis say 60-minute game? You got to play a 60-minute game. I'm going to break this down for you. We've seen teams come back on us before. We came back on teams before, but just this past year, not even a week or two ago, actually 2 weeks ago, the Browns just last week came out for 25 points on the road and won. Biggest road deficit to overcome in NFL history. The Ravens in their own Super Bowl. You would have thought it was going to be a blowout, 28-6, when Jacoby Jones takes the opening kickoff for a record 108 yards. But no, here comes the Niners after the power out, and where did that come from? The Colts were down 38-10 at home against the Chiefs in the playoffs last year. The Colts come back and won. You remember the Patriots down 24-0 at halftime to the Broncos. They came back and won that game. You got to be relentless because it's the defensive job to stop the football. It's the offensive job to score. It's not my fault that Tampa Bay's defense cannot stop them. So, yes, I understand pulling your starters and all that, the rest or wrist injury, but you have to wait till it's 6-5 minutes left in the game, which they did, and Tyrod got in the game. That's when it's reasonable. That's when it makes sense. Not when it's, oh, you still have 2 quarters of football left, because if Tyrod's out there throwing picks and getting sacked and fumbling, and then now it's all of a sudden a 12-point game, 14-point game, then we're going to go, oh, my gosh, Harbaugh's an idiot. He pulled Flacco too early, of course. So, you can't have it your way, and that's why everybody's not coaching the NFL. So, there again, I rest my case.
Yeah, and besides just, worrying about the score and what would happen, if Joe were to leave early or whatever, I like the fact that Joe stayed in there and a lot of those guys stayed in there just for the sheer fact that, this has been a very uneven season. This has been up and down. There's been good games. There have been bad games. Keep them in there as much as they want, because if they are dominating, get that in their head that they could do this every game, get it in their head. Look at how well we can play when we're all dialed in and we all know what we're doing, because that's what you want. I mean, if they can use this next week up against an opponent that's going to be a little bit more of a challenge, keep it in their head. Remember what we did last week. Remember, what we had to do to get past, the Buccaneers. Look at how great we were then. We can use that up against a tougher opponent.
You're right, man. And I couldn't agree with you more there. You always want to look at the game as a whole and how it flows. And you couldn't be more pleased when how well it was managed, how well the game clock was managed. Here's my only concern. And with this big win, you might ask Josh, why is there concerns? Of course, there's always concerns. We didn't play that perfect of a game. We kind of let up. I mean, you figured we scored 5 touchdowns in the first 14 minutes of the game. I thought Flacco was on pace to break the record, which would have been great to see. He had to throw 8 touchdowns in the game to get that record. But the problem is we were up 38 at halftime, and it was just, where's the rest? So the points come from. We're up 38-0 at halftime. Yes, the final score is 48-17. They outscored us 17-10 in the second half. The score didn't dictate that because we built a 38-point cushion, which is great. But here's the problem I had. The defense kind of started playing soft, whether it was rest versus game planning and in-game managing, I don't know. But I noticed when Tampa Bay was going down the score late in the third, early in the fourth, the defense was playing that soft prevent. We're not letting them behind us, give them a big play, but we'll give them 10 to 12 yards a chunk. And it was kind of like I was getting frustrated even though we were blowing them out. It was, guys, what happened at the beginning of the game? Where's the pass rush? Where's the, you know, the suffocating defense in the corners? You know, Jimmy Smith making picks, like I said, Mosley out there. Where's the havoc? And then all of a sudden they clamped down finally after the two touchdowns, and we're like, all right, we're not letting you in. And then again, you know, it's just – it was one of those things that bugged me. I'm not really too concerned, but I did notice, and especially the offense, it was kind of like, you know, they went three and a couple of times, and it's like, okay, guys, you know, you have the lead, you're running the clock, but, you know, you could easily win this game 60-10. But, you know, one or two scores, and I don't think it's run up the score because, like we discussed before, they didn't stop us. But again, I noticed we took a foot off our gas a little bit, but it was great because I guess the guys got the much-needed rest in the second half. Not necessarily we sat them, but we started cycling them in and out, and it was great to see again. 40-17 win. Who can we can complain? I'm not really complaining. I'm just saying I'm a little concerned that the defense was kind of playing a little softer. So it was something to look at.
Yeah. So who's I guess Joe Flacco's got to be your MVP of the game. That's who I would give it to.
Oh, definitely, man. I'm going to break down the numbers for you right now. I mean, MVP like numbers here. Let's just take a look here. Let's see it. I'm going to give you some numbers and throw these out. These are courtesy of BaltimoreRavens.com. 16 minutes and 3 seconds. The amount of time it took Joe Flacco to throw 5 touchdowns, which is the fastest the 5 touchdown passes were completed a game since the AFL-FL merger in 1970. Flacco crushed the previous record of 28 minutes and 9 seconds, which was held by our rival Ben Roethlisberger in 2007. 146 rating was a franchise record. That he just said, like I said, we before he had a career high in Carolina against Carolina, 37.4. 48 points. The Ravens scored most points Sunday that they ever had on the road. So we saw actually a Ravens record on the road of 48 points. The 48 point performance was the second highest total in franchise history. And then remember me and you were at the Oakland game? Mm-hmm. 55 points was the franchise record at home against those Raiders, so Raiders. That was a great game. Yeah, I remember that game. That was a fun game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a great game.
That was a great game. Again, Jacoby Jones scored. It was a great day. So just giving you a little bit of numbers there. And then with Steve Smith again, topping 100-yard mark, he has crossed 100-yard mark in 4 out of the 6 games he's played in. So I think Steve Smith, you can make a case for Joe Flacco being MVP, but I think right now, 6 games in, Steve Smith is the MVP of this team. He's been a breath of fresh air so far, especially with the Pitt injury.
Yeah, and the nice thing about this game, too, is that with Torrey Smith playing so well and with Joe Flacco kind of spreading out those touchdowns a little bit, it kind of got that spotlight off of Steve Smith because, right. I mean, he was being, like, double covered, you know, for the first few games of this season. This time around, I mean, now hopefully he won't be in double coverage for the next couple games. They'll be able to spread it around because it kind of – it finally looks like the receivers have the right footing in this offense.
I agree, man. And you said, speaking of spreading the ball around, 8 different receivers caught a ball on Sunday, including Campanero, who had his first NFL touchdown pass, and Kamara Aiken caught a touchdown pass, and Torrey Smith got involved in the ball game. So it was one of those great things to see. Instead of Flacco zeroing in on Daniels, zeroing in on Steve Smith all day, and it was like, okay, where are the other guys? Because there's only 11 defenders. If somebody's double or triple covering one of our guys in the secondary, one of them's got to be open by the sake of numbers, right? And you kind of get playing that game, and when Joe Flacco's distributing the ball, it kind of makes you look at, you know, not comparing teams because we're our own team where we have our own game plans, but that's what the Patriots do well. That's what the Broncos do well. Yes, Peyton Manning has his favorite players, but Peyton does that all the time. You never know who's going to catch the ball. I mean, you know, sometimes a lineman lines up and they're catching touchdowns. And I know that happened in New England one time. So, and that's what makes those quarterbacks and those offenses successful, because they distribute the ball evenly and it's who's ever open. And yes, it's the hot hand at times, but when that hot hand is cooled off by somebody being covered them, or whether it be injury or fatigue, someone else steps up. And that shows that we have number one depth. And we have number two, that players that step up when their number's called and perform. And it's not like, okay, well, we have good 4 receivers, so if those 4 aren't catching anything, we're screwed. It's, you know, Marlon Brown goes down and he's not really doing well. Okay, Michael Campanero steps up. You know, we have a Kamara Aiken step up. We have these guys who are kind of like lesser known players, but you're going to see their names called more and more as we become more successful in this offense.
Absolutely. So is that it for the Red Eye review of this game? Should we move on to next week?
Red Eye review complete, my friend. I think we got that one covered.
All right, very cool, man. So before we start talking about the Atlanta Falcons game, let's take a quick break. Here is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Like The Call on Facebook at Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast.
All right, everybody, here we go. Week 7 up against the Atlanta Falcons. Going to be
depressing, man. Week 7.
I know.
You say
right?
Week 7, we're 10 weeks from the end of the season. Stop it. We're 10 weeks
crazy.
From Christmas. Let's stop this madness, man. Let me go back to week 1 against Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. So much hope.
Oh, man.
All right, so
exactly.
We're up against the Atlanta Falcons. It's going to be a 1 o'clock game. It's going to be on Fox this time. Don't think it's going to be on CBS. It will be on Fox, airing on Fox, unless you're watching it live at M&T Bank Stadium, because it's the first home game in since week 4.
So, it's the only home game this month, guys, so we're going to be happy to get down there.
So here we go. There's been a lot of comparisons of the Atlanta Falcons and the Baltimore Ravens especially throughout Joe Flacco's career. So let's talk about this. This is going to be a bigger challenge than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is going to be a team that mirrors the Ravens a lot. What's going to be the biggest key to this game? Because like we just talked about, for me, keeping Joe Flacco upright and giving him time to do his thing is going to be a big part of it. But what do you see, at least offensively, as the biggest key here? Is it going to be passing? Is it going to be Justin Forsett? What's going to be the big factor here on offense?
You said it lastly, my friend, Justin Forsett. Establishing the run, establishing early. They abandoned the run again in Indianapolis. I've had countless opinions about that. I've had countless discussions on the side about that. The Ravens abandoned the run way too early in Indianapolis, and it led up to their demise. When you stick to the run, it sets up everything, because it keeps that defense honest, for one. So if Justin Forsett's having a great day, the defense has to be remaining in the box. Okay, well, we have a weapon to worry about, because they're going to run the ball. And number two, the other key upon that, it could be the main key there, and then key 1A right there is you got to stick to it. If it's working, stick to the plan. How many times where the running game was working in Indianapolis, and it was like, okay, we got to pass. Well, we're not down 20 points. I mean, you don't need to be passing it the whole time. It's very frustrating. If it's working and they can't stop it, let Justin Forsett run. You know, Joe Flacco threw 5 touchdowns, had 300 yards. Hey, they can't stop Justin Forsett, let him run 200-300 yards all over him. I don't care. If he can't stop him, yeah, who are they to not keep running him? And it sets up play action. It sets up a lot of no huddle. And it just sets up the whole off in general. So the main key is you got to establish the run up front, first and foremost.
All right, so switching gears here to defense. We know I don't think we know. Nothing's come out yet about Chris Canty, whether or not he's going to play or not. But defensively, I got to assume that Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil are going to be the guys that you're really going to be looking for to make big plays this week.
Yes. I'm looking for the pass rush to be there predominantly up front. We had a great game on Sunday, no doubt about that. The defense was relentless. Mosley was running around out there. It was great to see. Jimmy Smith, nice, got a pick, almost had a pick six. I'm in his sights. It was great to see there, too, as well. Suggs getting a sack. Dumervil was in the backfield wrecking havoc. Brandon Williams was pushing a pile. Haloti Ngata getting in there. It was very good to see. I think this defense is going to be dominant, especially at home, being our only home game, coming off that win. They're going to be refreshed and energized. And with the Falcons, they don't prove any small task. I mean, they got Matt Ryan, they got Julio Jones, they got Roddy White. These guys are dangerous, and these big receivers, we just dealt with them in Tampa Bay, Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. So we got another tall task, and they're burners. So as long as we can contain that big pass play mentality and not let up these guys behind us and Matt Ryan to get some time, because if he finds one of these guys back there, it could be a nice 60-80-yard play for them, and it ain't going to look well for us. So, again, defense keys for the offense, run the football. Keys for the defense, just stick to your zone, stay what you're doing, and don't give up that big play mentality, and just keep pouring it on, being relentless, always pursuing.
Now, we also got to talk about the secondary here, of course, on defense. That's been a big question mark this entire year. We can't keep a full secondary lineup together. Somebody's always got to be injured. As far as I know, Lardarius Webb should be able to play, and you got guys like Shockey Brown, who really has not had a good season at all. What I've noticed, and since we've been doing this podcast, you know, since the very start, is that a quarterback usually picks on one player and is constantly throwing to somebody getting covered by that certain player. I know Kerry Williams was a big target for a lot of guys. Do you see the Falcons kind of signaling out whoever's running with Shockey Brown and picking on him the entire day, or do you think they're also going to be like the Ravens and they're going to run more?
I think they're going to do it. Most teams usually do pick on that guy. It's just one of those easiest things to do. If you exploit that guy's weakness and pick him, it's just going to be an easier day, I should say, for the offense. Yeah, I think they're going to, you know, zone in and key on that guy. I mean, they're going to look at the main guys like Mosley, Suggs, Dumerville, Jimmy Smith. They're going to go, okay, well, these guys are great at their craft, and we got to account for them. And that's what Ed Reed and Ray Lewis did a lot in their heyday. It was, you got to account for number 20. You know, Tom Brady always said that. He goes, where's 20 on the field? Because, you know, he was out there. And that's what they got to look at. They're going to look across the field and say, okay, where are these guys out in the field? Where are they lined up? How are they lined up? What are they going to do? And it's that chess match again. And Matt Ryan's going to have to dictate that. And hopefully we can beat them at their own game. And hopefully, hey, call their number. And we'll have a better one ready. But, yeah, like I said, these guys just got to stick to their zones. And hopefully we don't have that one-player-lock mentality where – some of the guys getting beat like a drum, and they're just going to keep hammering it, because I really hate to see that. I'm telling you, one big play gets let up, someone's going to be riding the pine. I see it coming. I mean, you've seen Harbaugh. Once Jacoby Jones fumbled that football, he put Webb back there. He wasn't playing around, and he sends a message. And I think the MPs will do the same thing in Harbaugh in general. If someone's getting beat, I think they're going to switch it up.
So what is going to be your decision here? Do you see the Ravens coming out with a win up against the Falcons, or are they going to have to, you know, walk away and walk away with a loss?
That's a good question, Brandon. This is the kind of game that can go either way for us. Hate to have a second loss at home already this year because we're so great at home. I'm actually going to say with this kind of game and with these two teams, how they are, I'm going to pick the road team to lose here. So the home team with the Ravens being the winner. If it was vice versa and the Ravens on the road, I would have to pick the Falcons. It's just one of those, you know, it's one of those pick 'em games, man. The Ravens are playing so well. The Falcons are coming off a loss against Chicago. The Falcons have been having a great year as a whole. I'm looking into coming in here and trying to steal a win from us. But I think we're going to protect our home turf. Like I said, being our first home game and our only home game this month until the first week is November. So we have 3 more weeks till another home game. I think, I will be one of them. I'll be out there screaming and yelling.
But as always.
As always, you know how it is. Come Monday morning. That's why we do the shows a little bit later. But come Monday morning, I know I'll be icing my pipes because definitely going to be using them this week. And more so because this is our only home game, it's our time to shine. And we want to show Matt Ryan and the Falcons that we mean business. And it's going to be those interesting stories you're going to hear all week about the comparison, because if anybody hasn't a chance to research the backstory about this, is great, because Matt Ryan was actually our pick. We've always covered the whole backstories of the players, and it's really great to see how things play out. Because believe it or not, going back all the way to 2007 to 2008, Bisciotti actually wanted to choose Jason Garrett as our head coach. And he chose to stay with the Cowboys, and looked how it worked out for us. And we were targeting Matt Ryan heavily in our scouting and drafting. And it so happened that Matt Ryan got taken, and they wanted our boy Flacco, and we got him. And he was heavily scouted by our scouts right up 95 in Delaware. So, again, this is going to be a matchup highlighted, because I know the last time these two teams played, it was a close game. It was on a Thursday Night Football game a few years ago, actually 4 years ago, down in Atlanta. And the Ravens could have won that game as well. So it's going to be a firefight. Again, these two quarterbacks mirror each other. They're two in the same pod, man. Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, can't go wrong. I'm glad we got Flacco. He's obviously, Flacco's got the playoff wins in the ring to prove it. Matt Ryan's only got one playoff win under his belt, and he's lucky to get that one. And, again, this is going to be a great, great matchup. I'm looking for a Ravens victory. This is going to be a four-point margin. I'm going to call 27-23 Ravens win.
very good to hear, man. I'm happy that you're saying the Ravens are going to win, especially at home. I don't know how – maybe you can give me a little insight on this. I don't know how this is really going to work, but we do have a guy on the Ravens, Will Hill, who is serving a six-game suspension. Is there any chance – I don't know how it works in the NFL. Is there any chance that we could see him in this game on week seven, or can he not come back because he has to, like, pass conditioning and all that kind of stuff?
That is a great question. I know I don't know the NFL rulebook as a whole. I don't know if there's any stipulations there if he has to pass tests because, but for what I know, when I monitored the Suggs when he was on the PUP list and deactivated for the first games, Reed was, and then with these suspensions, it's kind of like I know these guys can't be one with the team, so they're working out. And I only know this much from the other side because I know with our other birds, Chris Davis, when he was suspended, he can't be with the team, but he can still work out on his own. He just can't show up at team facilities or be around team activities. When you're suspended, it's like you're suspended. You can't be around. It's almost like you can't be within a certain feet of the building. It's kind of like that, like you need to go away. And being a suspension, as long as these guys are taking care of themselves, I don't think there's a reevaluation test. Not to my knowledge. I'd love to research that, but now again, not to my knowledge.
So do you see, since he served his 6 weeks, if he does play up against the Falcons, what kind of impact do you think Will Hill is going to bring to this team?
He's going to bring anything. Speed, breath of fresh air. He's refreshed. He's rested. Anybody that's coming up, I think is going to be, and if he's inserted anywhere in the lineup, it's going to be a great addition for the Ravens as a whole. I think it's going to bode well for us, getting a fresh face in there, a fresh body, a new look. Again, you know, I like to see it. I mean, we saw that this past week. Kamar Egan, Michael Cabanera, these guys haven't been playing all year, and they're in there catching touchdown passes from Joe Flacco, and their number hasn't been called really much this year. So, again, you know, I'm excited to see if he can get out on the field. It'd be great for us, and it'd be a chance to see another new addition to the Ravens and a different side of us and see what we can bring.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he brings to the table. You know, you do have guys like Matt Elam who, I mean, he hasn't had like an awful second season, but it hasn't been, you know, anything to write home about. So,
really? I sent the letter yesterday. I'm just kidding.
So I'm kind of interested to see what they do with Will Hill, where he lands on this team, and if we see him Sunday. So we'll definitely see what's going, because it's been a battered defense so far this year, and the secondary's definitely been the biggest cause for concern amongst fans. So if he does bring something to this team, I hope it's a positive thing. So we'll see come Sunday. So did we cover anything? Anything that we missed?
No, I think we got the five touchdowns covered. We got we moved on Tampa Bay. We got the Dirty Bird Falcons coming in, but we're that much dirtier because we're the Baltimore Ravens, and I don't think with that, not a chance, sir.
All right, very cool. So, as everybody knows, there are many different ways you can listen to us. Listen to the call, stream it, download it, whatever you do, whatever is best for you podcast-wise. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. If you want to listen to archive shows, go to thecall.brandocash.com. Pretty cool stuff over there. You can listen to the Super Bowl winning episode because we have that backlog for you right there. Make sure you're social with the show. Talk to us. Let us know what's going on. You can tweet to me. I have a very public Twitter account at BrandoCash. You can tell me how much you love the Ravens, how much you hate the Ravens. Tell me how much you hate me. Tell me how much you love me. Tell me I suck at podcasting. Tell me I should stop. I won't. I won't listen to you, but at least we'll have a conversation because that's what podcasting is all about. Josh, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you at?
They can always follow me and extend that love-hate, as Brandon always talks about, at a giant TQ52, man. You're tripping.
It's become a tradition this season now where I try to say something about my Twitter account, and I'm trying to get you just to snicker in the background just a little bit each week. So I'm just going to continually add on to that.
Well, you're definitely pouring it on this week because it's extra added sugar. So you're doing a great job, man. You're selling that Twitter account hard, man. You should be a Twitter salesman.
I'm trying.
Come on. Guys, gotta follow it. Come on. trying to get that preset Ray Lewis mentality, man. You got to, yeah, I know. It's just pretty funny, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure you go out to BrandoCash.com. Check out our website there. You'll get information about the call and all the other stuff from Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows that we produce out of Brando Cash Entertainment. And then go over on Facebook and like the call, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. And biggest thing we can ask you guys, listen, we do this show for free. We constantly bring that up. You guys download, you stream, you do everything like that for free. It's 2014. Do you know what's free anymore? Nothing. You have to pay for everything. Guys, enjoy it and share the wealth. You know, you're getting free entertainment here. Let people know. Be proud you're a Ravens fan. Be proud you're a podcast listener. Be proud that you enjoy podcasts. So let people know on the web that you're a Ravens fan, you listen to the call, and everyone else should too. So tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Let everybody know, especially on that subreddit for the Ravens that's kind of been taken over by a different show. Let them know that the call is out there and that they should listen to the call. So everybody, thank you so much. Go O's. We got a game coming up tonight as we record. Let's take those Royals down. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, and I must say, some added vigor this week. I think hockey started. Is that right?
A little bit there.
Somebody fired up this week.
I'm always trying to start fights, you know, when I want to drop the gloves.
Well, we're not San Fran or Oakland, so we need to be starting fights in bathrooms, right?
Right.
But anyway, with that being said, this is going to be a great matchup, the Ravens and Falcons, come Sunday, 1 o'clock, as we said on Fox. Check your local listens. As always, it's going to be a downright fight. It always is with the Falcons. We remember again, 4 years ago on a Thursday night, we were going toe-to-toe. Again, Falcons are dirtier birds, but we're that much dirtier, as I said it before, because we are the Baltimore Ravens, and we're actually going to go in, and we're going to take care of business in our own home. They're going to come in, and we're not going to let them, and that is the goal, 5-2. We're marching right on. Baltimore Ravens, we're going to fly high over these Falcons come Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.